It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Wednesday, August 21st, 2024, taking you up to 6:15. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you missed your chance to win tickets to Jason Aldean later this month at Jiffy Lube Live, fear not, there's another opportunity for you to win those tickets coming your way tomorrow at 4 o'clock. The show is sponsored, as always, by the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, or create a power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them that we, G&D, sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Those guys are huge.
The best.
DC sports fans and very big listeners and friends of the show. We appreciate them making it all possible. But excited to spend some time with them out and about and on the road this year, which we'll be detailing in the weeks ahead, Danny. But it's going
to
be good.
There's some interesting developments afoot, is what I would say to that.
All of our baseball coverage on The Fan today has been presented by T-Mobile. We're going to get you the Nationals starting lineups and weather report before we get out of here. We'll preview their game with the Rockies. I'd prefer to not lose a series to the Rockies. I know it doesn't really matter at this point, and the Nats are working their way up the draft board as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rockies really stink.
They're bad. The Rockies are.
It'd be nice to get a couple of these. Let's save the losses for the good teams. You know,
because they're
coming.
They got plenty of those.
Oh, they're
plenty of those
there.
Too. Yeah,
they're going to be there for sure. But let's let James Wood get back in the hit column tonight. Maybe get the good guys a win. More on the Nats in just a bit. I did see one of the wackiest stories I've seen online in the last couple of weeks today. I will address this quickly before we get back to football.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've got serious things to tend to. How about this ploy, though? This is via local10.com in Miami Springs, Florida.
Okay.
So I guess we could start with Florida Man, right?
Mm-hmm. Work from there.
A man was jailed for impersonating a pizzeria in Miami Springs and delivering pizzas that didn't taste good to people. So here are the details, Danny.
Okay.
There's a 55-year-old guy facing felony charges in South Florida for a bizarre impersonation scheme that left pizza customers getting a raw deal. Very newsy. Because the pizza was raw.
He's getting a raw deal.
You see what they did there?
I just can't, man.
When people say local news needs to up their game a little bit, that's what they're talking about.
But it turns out he was making dough. Just the worst.
So bad. Oh. Police said he ran an elaborate scheme to defraud tourists staying in the hotels of Miami Springs by pretending to be a well-known local pizza parlor. The way it worked was, you check into these hotels by the airport. He would make flyers as if he was the pizza parlor down the street that everybody loves. That's, you got to try this. They do the great pizza.
Local pizza. Yeah.
He would drop the flyers off. Okay. He called it Roman Pizza.
Roman Pizza.
Roman Pizzeria. And one of the guys that runs the other one was a guy named Roman. He would mislead you into then calling him and ordering pizza from him. I think he would make it at his house. And then he would bring you pizza, oftentimes that wasn't cooked, or you just throw dough in a box. Or he might sometimes, if you're really lucky, make you a real crappy version of pizza. And he would drop it off at your hotel. But by the time that you would pay him, he would be gone. You know, you pay him, you get upstairs, you open the pizza box, and you're like, wait a second, this is just dough. Wait a second. This pizza's horrendous. And then you call, and this part I don't really understand, but at that point, it's over. Like, you can't track the guy down. You can't get a hold of him. So all your complaints go to this
other... Yeah, there's no customer service for a fake pizzeria.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's some of the quotes. Sometimes they show up upset here to the store claiming, "Where's the food?" Roman said. "We have to explain to them that it's not us. At least if you're going to do something, do it right," Roman said. He's upset, as he should be, because his place is getting just pummeled with terrible complaints and people saying it's awful because this other dude is lying and saying he's them and just giving them the fake pizza.
I mean, how could that be worth your while?
Which makes me wonder, has this guy ever run any pizza scams in Virginia? If you know what I mean.
Why? What do you mean, Grant?
Could this be the pizza man I've been looking for all these years?
He's like, I'm on the lam. Paulson's on to me. I'm going to Florida.
Exactly. This guy's talking about me on the radio. It's getting too hot. I got to run. There's a paragraph here you're not going to believe. It says that he used to do a scam where people would leave cash in their mailboxes.
In their mailboxes.
And he wouldn't give them the Joe Corby's pizza that he ordered from them.
Mm-mm-mm.
That paragraph's not actually
That's made up.
What do you think about this guy? I mean, what a weird thing to do. To pretend to be
imagine
a restaurant.
The first time. Imagine there was a time before he did it where he was like, here's what I'm going to do. At any time could have stopped. At any time could have just not gone through with it.
Police said he's been doing it for several years.
Years.
It's caused significant hardships for the real Romans, including complaints to the Better Business Bureau. Negative reviews and upset customers.
But I mean, the bureaucracy that looks over these sorts of things just tries to fix it is like, do they really? At first, I imagine this poor business just trying to make pizza and, you know, and stay afloat like everyone else is. And they're like, they're complaining, but it's not about us. And they're like, I don't know how to help you, man. This is, you got to talk to Yelp or you got to talk to Google reviews or whatever.
Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Email him the order or like maybe does he design an app for people to, you know, have a QR code on the menu or something that he drops off in your room and he hangs around the hotel or in the hotel elevator or something.
Rolls over and gives people a piece of plastic or like a rock or something.
The thing I never get is how do people like this not think they're going to get caught? The scammers that do stuff like this have such confidence that no one's going to find out it was them. When I watch some of these true crime documentaries, you know, whatever it is, whether it's someone who's robbing a bank or committing a murder or just giving you raw pizza, the confidence that you just live comfortably without the anxiety that the rest of us have, that the walls are caving in at any moment. Like, how do I can't even watch a link of a football game that Clary sends me for fear that someone's going to kick my door down. These people are just out here scamming people for years thinking no one's going to catch you.
I can't get over the here's my scheme, here's my idea. $17.50 at a time. Like, this is how I'll make my fortune.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
burn, but we'll get there.
Yeah, like, I'm driving stuff over there. I'm buying, you know, it's not like I'm getting a wholesale fake ingredients or something like that. Or maybe even he has like, the ability to cook some pizza at home. Maybe he's just giving them a frozen pizza or something. Like, one of those Red Barons or like a Mama Celeste or something.
I also think if you're on travel, like, I know for myself, as someone who does not waste time trying to get my money back for my lunch after a road trip because it's such a pain in the ass to deal with reimbursement at work and all this stuff. If you're at a hotel and you order a pizza, let's say you drop 30, 40 bucks with tip or whatever, and then the pizza comes and it's just terrible. I'm going to take a couple bites and go, what an awful pizza.
Yeah, I'll go, that's it. That's my L.
Now, I might call or in this case, email or whatever and just say, hey, man, that was bad pizza. I don't even think I would do that. I don't think I've ever once called or emailed when service was bad or something was terrible. But if it was raw dough, maybe I'd be motivated to do that, I guess. But how many people go further than that if you're on travel? You know what I mean?
It's not like you live in the community. Yeah.
If it's just someone who's passing through, maybe you just chalk it up as, I got a crap pizza. I got bad
Miami
service.
Pizza sucks. Oh, well,
exactly.
Whatever.
And then you just keep it moving. And maybe that's how he benefits from it.
Right.
Because everybody just... one pizza at a time decides that stunk. I'll never do that again. And next thing you know, 4 years and, you know, 8,000 pizza orders have gone by.
What about the hotel, though? Like, at some point, wouldn't you say, like, this guy that's just papering your hotel with flyers and he's the guy that shows up also with this terrible pizza and there's like something's happening at your establishment that you might notice the first 25 times with shift changes and things like that? All right, yeah. But like the same guy comes and there's always a problem. Like you might note something is afoot.
Years.
Before you get to years. You know, month two, I think we'd be on to him.
Miami, bro. Florida. Let's go to Rick, who's in Chesapeake. I believe he wants to talk kickers before we get to the quarterback. What's up, Rick? How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. First time calling. I love the show.
Now Jim's sitting
on
the edge of his seat, ready to go.
Yeah. But I don't know if y'all touched on it or not. I know they still got Riley, and I do believe y'all done covered it. They got another kicker that's going to be coming from somewhere else in. I just didn't know if y'all knew why they got rid of Ahmed. When he made his field goal and Riley missed both of his, why they cut Ahmed instead of keeping him?
Yeah, it was funny. One of the guys made a kick. The other guy missed a kick, same distance. If you're having a true competition, I think that speaks to, though, the competitions are not really what you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys normally that the team wants to win, and there are guys normally that the team wants to lose. The reason I assumed Riley Patterson was going to beat out Ramiz Ahmed, and the reason he had the leg up on him.
Oh, thank you.
That one's tough. I didn't mean to do that. That's not a local TV pun, I promise.
It sounds like he's got the leg up on the competition.
No. Everyone stop it.
I'm Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan News.
The reason he had him by a foot or two. No, that was an accident. I swear. Come on. Really? Come on. Who's done it? Who's made a joke? Come on.
Anybody?
Who's made it? Who's made the joke? I told my wife about that.
That joke?
That particular joke.
How'd it go?
Well, we were driving to my parents' house.
That's a great time to do it, right before you go to your folks' place, right?
And I was telling her all about how he does that in his set.
Uh-huh.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen live. Yeah. And she didn't really get it.
She just looked at you.
She laughed. She's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, and it was funny? I said, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't know if she liked that or not.
Yeah.
She's already upset that I love Deadpool, so maybe she's just questioning everything.
That one's a hard one. The guy we're talking about has a lot that you can say, hey, this is really good, or like let me give you one of these.
Yeah.
That's like a level three one.
Who's done it? Huh? Who's done it?
You got to start off with maybe a more like appetizing thing to begin with there, yeah.
But anyway.
Any hoodles.
The kicking competition. Oh, mm-hmm. So Ahmed has never kicked in the NFL in an actual game. Riley Patterson has kicked and kicked pretty successfully now in three different stops.
Yeah.
So when they got Ahmed, there wasn't a guy who had experience that they liked available. Ahmed was one of the guys in the UFL who kicked okay this year.
Yeah, and it wasn't like he was unbelievable. I know he made his last kick, his most recent one that we saw, but it wasn't like he's getting great reports out of practice or was hitting the other ones in games.
That was
either.
The other thing. So Patterson shakes free. They sign him. He's now done it in a real game. He is an NFL kicker, kind of in the club, so to speak, with experience. Ahmed was not, so he was the front runner. He's got to lose the competition. And then in practices, it was either dead even or advantage Patterson slightly. Also, a little bit more leg maybe. You know, you feel like he can have more success from deeper. But they see not just the games that you and I do where it was one make versus one miss. They had 6 to 8 kicks at practice every day for a couple weeks. They had a special teams coach watching how they kick off and their leg strength and how they go about their business and their confidence. There's just so much more that goes into these competitions than the result that we see in a game. The game might matter more than the practices. I'm sure they probably do. Especially in kicking when there's just hard to simulate the pressure in practice. But all of the practices and the time in the building added up probably outweighs the game.
I think so. That's the way to put it. So in terms of individual units, one practice less than one preseason game. But in terms of totality.
2 weeks of seeing them kick two, side
exactly.
by side.
Multiple weeks, daily habits, you know, the work, everything in between. Probably greater than one kick in a preseason game. And again, the track record.
All right. I like that people wanted to talk about kickers. It's been good doing that. I do want to get to the quarterback, though, if that's okay with everyone.
That's allowed.
The
right?
number two overall pick, Heisman Trophy winning, 50 touchdown, 4 interception quarterback from Louisiana State University.
Mm-hmm.
Go Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels. Danny, do you get the sense that the excitement is up a little bit, up a lot, or about exactly what it was at the start of camp? Because I feel like it should be up a lot, and I'm going to say it's up a little bit.
It's up a little bit.
But I think the coverage of him has been unbelievably positive.
Rightly so, yeah.
Nationally, everybody is all in and giddy. I don't remember this much positivity in terms of covering a quarterback. Like, you can't find anything negative. And there's a reason that you would be able to. He's done everything pretty well. But all of that normally adds up to a lot of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ramping up for you?
No. I'm already there, man. I'm here. This is the guy I wanted.
But even after seeing him play in games.
No, I mean, just like you
could want an ice cream cone. After you get it, you've tasted it, and it lived up to your expectations. It stands to reason that you could be happier about having it.
I suppose it could, but I've had this ice cream before, and I know what it tastes like. I know what it looks like, and I got it. I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm there. I'm excited. My overall excitement level, again, is what we've gone over a million times, is tempered by what's around him. I think they made a mistake here. But even still, the player is exactly right. This is who I thought we were getting. We got it. I've seen it. I am thrilled. And now I'll just sit there and hyperventilate for 17 weeks, hoping he avoids injury. But in terms of just the pulse of the people, of the fan base, I don't think there's any question. People are not at that fever pitch. And I know we talk about this with the fan base in general all the time. It can never be what it was back before this many name changes, before Snyder or whatever. Too many things have happened. I think something similar is happening here, where you'll never get that fervor where you're on until 6 o'clock in the morning. Because they when they took Griffin, but when they traded for the right to pick him, right? We'll never do that again.
I just think people are tired of giving the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
This one is different and better and all that, and they don't care. And we've covered that. We don't need to get back into that part of it. But here's what I'm curious about. We can open up the phones, MGM National Harbor listener line, 800-636-1067. How would you describe your feelings about Daniels going into the season, knowing that we probably won't see him again? So you're not going to add any more video, film, experience. You don't get to see him anymore, maybe, before he throws his first real-life NFL pass against the Todd Bowles defense, which is going to be a difficult first matchup, obviously. But how would you describe, one word, couple of words, short answer, whatever, how you're feeling about him? For me, I am way more excited, for the record, than I was when they drafted him, based on everything that he's done. And I don't even mean the two games, although I'd throw that into the pile for sure. But I do find myself way more optimistic. But I'm going to say I am cautiously optimistic. And maybe that's how the fan base feels largely, and that's where, you know, it's not a full-on party being thrown in, nor is it shouldn't be a party, for the record. But I'm cautiously optimistic because he's looked great in the two games, being asked to do very, 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 very little. He's looked really good in practices, but I think he knows what the offense is doing and what the defense is doing. And in the joint practices, he basically hit 500. He was awesome against the Jets, supposedly. Really struggled against the vice versa.
Flip it, yeah.
He was awesome against the Dolphins, second, supposedly, and first one against the Jets. He really struggled on a rainy day. But I will say on Jaden Daniels, my answer is cautiously optimistic.
That's a good one.
How would you sum up how you're feeling going into the season?
Reasonably hopeful. And I know that doesn't sound like it's as exciting as it should be.
Is that just another quirky way to say cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, because that's the right answer. But before, there was no reason to be hopeful. It was a farce. Being hopeful for Ryan Fitzpatrick is stupid. So was it for Carson Wentz. Stupid. So was it for pretty much everyone else they trotted out here. And even when they had a good one in Kirk Cousins, Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen were in charge. There was no point to anything we were doing here for the last several decades. There's a point now. This is now a worthwhile exercise.
But you were talking about how excited you were. You wouldn't say jacked up or ready for the show. I mean, you're not like you're still going, just more like nervous excited.
Yeah, like he's the right one. He is absolutely it. I just, again, I'm way more concerned about his surroundings than to really be over the moon.
800-636-1067. Want to hear your answers on this, guys? We'll go individually, one by one, down the lines next. On Grant and Danny, how would you sum up how you're feeling about Jaden Daniels after weeks of practice, training camp, a couple preseason games, and the entire offseason of him having been either on his way here or signed, sealed, and delivered? Now as we close in on the first game and our first chance to see him, you're listening to The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Bo Nix was named starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos today. Do you realize he becomes the first rookie week one starting quarterback for Denver since John Elway?
Man.
They have not had one rookie QB start a week one game since Elway. That's pretty amazing because they've been on the carousel as well over several years, really, other than the Manning era there, where they've been looking for a quarterback constantly. Jay Cutler, I guess, didn't do it after when they drafted him out of Vanderbilt with Shanahan. Must have come in season. They sat him for a little while. Other quarterback news today, Deshaun Watson limited in practice with a sore arm. Doesn't seem like a huge deal, but they're better off when he doesn't play.
Yeah, is there anything about him is kind of a deal at this point, you know? Like, is it ever going to happen?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think. Well, let me rephrase. I don't think it's going to happen, but they're going, please, just let's have no setbacks. Just be normal. Just be average. We could be pretty good.
2 years ago, their best quarterback was their backup, Brissett. Uh-huh. Last year, it was their backup, Flacco. If you're curious who their backup is this year, it's the very funny and okay at football, Jameis Winston. Remember, he once had 30 touchdowns and 30 picks in the same season, which feels like a 30-for-30 documentary-style campaign.
Slightly different than a 30-30 campaign in baseball, right, which is like a neat novelty thing. This is very different.
And Russell Wilson of the Steelers says he will play on Saturday in their preseason finale. We've been saying, how many teams are actually going to play anybody that matters to them, anybody that's supposed to start? Russell Wilson came out today and told reporters that he is supposed to be on the field this weekend when they play their final preseason game.
Who plays more games of quarterback for them this year?
I think Fields.
I think Fields also.
Now, I don't think either of them are good. I think I was kind of been on the Russell Wilson's not good train for a long, long time.
You, by the way, you are way ahead of me on both cars. You beat me to the spot both times.
I don't know what happened, but he just kind of fell off and people pretended like it didn't happen, but it's hard to pretend now.
Yeah.
A couple of organizations later. Having said that, their offense is not going to be good, so whoever starts initially is going to play less, and that's going to be Wilson.
So what I would do in Pittsburgh, and I know we're not doing a lot of Pittsburgh shtick here, but I got Arthur Smith. I would go, neither one of my guys can throw the ball real well. Who can make more plays with their feet? And it's Fields. He's more athletic right now.
Totally.
One of the great running quarterbacks ever. I would utilize that.
Yeah, and that's probably what they're eventually going to do. But speaking of quarterbacks who can make plays with their feet, let's get back to Jaden Daniels. Question for you guys. Phones are open. Got a few lines for you at 800-636-1067. How would you describe your feelings, succinctly a word or a couple of words, on Daniels going into the season? We've seen him play in the two preseason games he's probably going to. I went with cautiously optimistic. I am excited, certainly more excited than I was a few months ago. Everything's gone exceptionally well, but I think some people think that it's come easily and he looks great and that's replicable to how it's going to go early on, and maybe it will, but it's not going to be because of what's happened in the preseason. I don't think much of what we've seen, certainly in those two games and in a lot of practices, is all that authentic to how it's actually going to look when games are being played. So I'm still nervous. There's still things I need to see that I have my own questions about. Having said that, I feel a lot better about it. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm reasonably hopeful. Very similar to cautiously optimistic, I would say. But the larger context is there's a point to this. There's no point with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Carson Wentz or some other journeyman Jag, Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, etc. There's a point here, right? They got the right guy. I'm just hoping that the surrounding and supporting cast is good enough.
Let's go to Dwayne, who is in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny, listening on the Fan. What's up, Dwayne? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, my words are sheltered and incomplete because I just didn't see enough of them. A lot of teams, not just us, do this same thing every preseason, waste the preseason to me, and not letting these guys play. But yet they contradict themselves and let a veteran like Jamison Crowder play when you already know what he can do. We actually, this guy, rookie, needs to work. And other rookies need to work, and they let them play with these quarterbacks. I just think they're being sheltered, that's all.
So I'm kind of with you, not just on Daniels, but generally how the league works now, just so you know. But I do want to ask the follow-up of How would you have done it? You get three preseason games. There's 12 quarters. What would the workload have looked like in those three games for you if you called the shots?
For me, the first preseason game, one quarter. I don't care what the other team has out there. The second game, two quarters. And the third game, at least a half or two quarters, because I don't care what the other team defense is out there. He needs to work to me.
So I would actually do your plan before their plan. Mm. And I know a lot of people don't love that because the risk of injury. Now, I would not have had one read option play where he's keeping the football like they had on the 13-yard gain.
Yeah.
I know we can do that. That is going to come natural. That's riding a bike. I don't need to show it because other teams know it's coming. Oh, by the way, it's not like now they have to prepare for it. Well, they're already going to have to prepare for it. But I would mitigate the risk as best I can. At that point, the only risk you're taking on is when you're in the pocket. Still a problem.
Yeah, it's a thing.
You're a little guy and there's big dudes coming your way. But at some point, it's football. You have to play football. And I just view it as not to say that an injury wouldn't be devastating or catastrophic or horrible. It would be. But there is a juice worth the squeeze algorithm that, for me, the answer is always, with a young guy, a rookie definitely, a quarterback who needs reps, the answer is always it's worth it to me. I think you're better off getting the work before the bright lights turn on in September. So I would have signed up for his plan. Let's go to Sean in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. How are you feeling about Daniels going into the year?
Excited anticipation. I'm thrilled. And I really think that he's gonna do a great job. I hope that the coaching staff cuts him loose. I think it's unhealthy to always think about, what if he gets hurt? He can't get hit. No, this guy is an animal. Cut him loose. Let him run wild when the season starts. And let's see what we got. He's a Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. And I think that the coaching staff knows that, and they're going to do just what I said.
Yeah, all the talent's there. All the skill set is there. And the work ethic, the off-field, the behind-the-scenes, the not just, you know, posing once for Instagram in the gym to make everyone think you're working, and you get a bunch of retweets and muscle emojis. The real stuff is happening. And that's what you want to bet on, right? If you're a fan, a coach, another player, et cetera. It's genuine how good a worker he is. So, yeah. And then, of course, again, on-field talent-wise, he's checks every box that you would possibly want. There still has to be, in my opinion, some kind of governor. Like, if you go, well, he's great at running. Let's run, just for the sake of argument, let's run the traditional option a couple different times because he's so good at running. Because, he might be great at that, but you're also exposing him to certain things, right? There has to be some balance, some governor where, you know, the reason I flipped out the other day when he's not sliding and didn't talk about sliding or said I haven't really worked on sliding is the job of the coach is to say, I want the player to say, I'm going to dive headfirst every situation. I want the coach to say, please pick and choose. You've got to get the best out of them, but also keep getting something out of them.
Yeah, to me, I look at like Lamar Jackson's career and his rushing attempts just as an example. And that's kind of what I would look for. Lamar Jackson, on average, runs somewhere around, 130 to 170 times a season. And that's exactly what I would do with Jaden Daniels. Lamar's run for 1,000 yards twice, 800 yards three times, 750 each of the last 5 years. He's been 695 or higher every season. That's what
he's basically 1,000-yard pace every year, except when he doesn't play the full allotment.
That's what I would be doing with Jaden Daniels. Now, I think he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. People hear that, and there's this weird, like, disrespect. Like, some guy came at me yesterday and said, I can't believe you think he's a running quarterback. And I said, the guy that ran for 1,147 yards last year in college?
You have a 300-yard rushing game against Florida?
You don't think he's a running quarterback? He's like, running quarterback means you've never seen him. He can throw the ball. No, Goose. I understand that he can throw the ball. You're pretending like I'm saying he can't throw the ball. That's not what I said. You're fighting some other fight that you could fight with somebody else. I'm just saying that the guy who runs the 4.39 40, who's one of the best ball carriers in the National Football League and one of the fastest players on any field he's ever been on, who, oh, by the way, ran for 1,150 yards in college last year, ran all the way to the Heisman with some great throws as well, oh, by the way, that, yeah, he should be a running quarterback. Now, if that's some negative connotation that bothers you, I don't know what to tell you. That's your problem. There's a two-time MVP in Baltimore who's a running quarterback, oh, by the way, who nobody can defend, who Peyton Manning just ranked in his top five. And what I would do is I would absolutely turn up the faders on, letting him make plays with his feet. I happen to think he's a better passer than Lamar, and I think hopefully he can prove that, and maybe he's not a better passer today than Lamar is today, although I would say it's probably closer than people would admit. But he's certainly a better passer than Lamar was coming out. So you got to be able to throw the ball on third and long. You got to be able to throw the ball when everyone in the stadium knows it's coming. But I don't think you draft Jaden Daniels without the plan being to make sure that a huge piece of the pie that's undercooked from some guy in Miami who's posing to be somebody else.
Good callback.
Is that he's running the football. So I'm with you there. Clay's in Fredericksburg. What's up, Clay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, dude.
Grant, I really agree with you about being cautiously optimistic. And Danny, I agree with your point as well about they're doing the process the right way. You know, they drafted the right kid. He's clearly mature, has a good head on his shoulders, got elite arm talent and, you know, speed. I think as a fan of this team, it's hard to just buy in because out of all the people we've drafted, all the signings we've had, all the offseason hype has just completely floundered in our face. So, you know, I think back to last spring, not this past spring, but spring of 2023 when we signed Eric Bieniemy, you know, right after his press conference, I can't remember if it was you guys, B. Mitch and Billy, or I can't remember who it was, but they were like, you know, this is a huge win for the organization. Like, we should really be excited about this. And, you know, I was excited, but I was also like, we've been burned so many times. Let's see what happens. Now, the difference is the rookie quarterback hopefully is here for 5+ years. And, you know, if he has a bad season, we're not getting rid of him. But I think it's hard to be completely bought in just given being a fan of this team for 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. How do you feel about Daniels going into the season is the question if you're just jumping into your car. 800-636-1067. Looking for a word or a couple of words to fill in that blank on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Was there anything that you haven't seen him do so far that you were hoping to? If we don't see him again, like you and I both think we're not going to,
right,
on Sunday in the preseason game at the X, is there anything that he wasn't asked to do that you wish he would have been in the preseason that might have made you more confident? We'll get into that next on The Fan. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. How much is it going to cost you to watch every NFL game this season? Got some numbers on that that'll blow you away. We'll pass those along in just a couple of minutes. First, though, to answer the question we just posed going to break, Danny. Something you wish Jaden Daniels would have been asked to do in his exhibition action that he wasn't.
I understand why they didn't do this. I totally get it. Their concern is about being the best they can be and getting him ready. But just for me, to satisfy old Danny Ruye on my couch watching stuff, I would have liked to have seen some of those high-level NFL routes, some of those deep crossers, right, in behind a linebacker in front of a safety, some of those, you know, deep ball, there's only, you know, a millisecond where you can start to throw it and, you know, a matter of inches to fit the darn thing in. Some of those deep outs, tight coverage type things where you're Justin Herbert style driving the football into a very, very narrow window down the field. I would have loved to have seen some of those things just to see it because it would have been fun for me. But again, I'm not criticizing them for not doing it.
Yeah, I think I could kind of echo that in some way. The in-breakers, middle of the field throws that weren't on the film to a great extent at LSU. Just put that to bed. And he will in September, hopefully, if they can hit on a few of those. But it just wasn't a part of his game that was a strength. And my fear is it's not going to come as naturally. Maybe you overshoot those or you're just not as comfortable throwing those. And that turns into, you know, overthrow middle of the field can be an interception or what have you. It's a lot safer to throw the ball outside because you can use the sideline as your friend, overthrow, you know, toward the boundary or deep down the field or whatever. And I don't think it's a complete coincidence that he protected the football the way that he did without interceptions and also didn't operate in the middle of the field a whole lot where there's more bodies and some potential risk for picks. So I would have liked to have seen a little of that. I certainly would have liked to have seen just kind of holding the ball and processing, which is the quarterback position and how it's got to work. I'm quick game Quincy. I mean, I love the quick game. I am a big fan of 1.9 seconds and the ball out. I think Tua last year led the NFL in time to throw, and look at Miami's offense. Now, I don't have Tyreek Hill or Jaden Waddle, but point is, and I think people understand, you want the ball into the hands of the receivers as fast as possible. And behind this line, time to throw being low is a good thing, not a bad thing. Having said that, there is a little bit of a buyer beware thing when, you know, you have the lowest time to throw because oftentimes you're not allowing things to develop down the field. And so you want him to just get a feel for the clock in his head. And maybe that you're practicing that as in practices you can't be hit, but I think it's a little different.
Right.
at no point did he really work on the clock in his head, which I think is a big part of his development coming out of college, as we've talked about. So those would be a couple of things I'd point to top of my head that we didn't see a ton of. But his preseason grade, if it's over now through two games, for what he was asked to do and what he did, you can't give him less than an A. Is it an A minus? Is it an A plus? You know, the A plus play to me was the check at the line and the dime to De'Ami Brown downfield. That was the one kind of high degree of difficulty moment that we saw. Everything else was acing pretty easy quizzes. But I think you still got to give him a solid. I'm going to give him just a true A on the preseason. And if we're accounting for practice, if we're accounting for the off the field discourse from coaches on him as a leader and as a worker and a studier and when he shows up, then maybe you bump it up to an A plus so far.
Yeah, it's an A for me. I mean, you know, he's, I don't have a better analogy, but I was trying to think of it using school stuff. It's like he took an intro to physics class this preseason training camp and then, you know, some of these games. And if you're giving him less than an A, it means you're mad because he didn't do advanced AP physics too. We wouldn't ask to. Can he? We don't know yet. We're going to find that out, right? Because that quarterback position is really hard. But if the coaches were, you know, were throwing caution to the wind and not caring what was on tape and tipping their hand and saying, let's do all the stuff we're going to do to see if you can do it very well, and he failed at some of that stuff, we'd have a better idea. But from what he was asked to do, again, he was running the plays with the exception of the one beautiful time that he checked out of it and said, I'll just throw this perfect dime 40-some yards down the field, please, and thank you.
I was emailed this from my buddy BK, so shout out to him for sending this my way today. But this is the least amount you can spend to watch every NFL game this season, if you choose to.
Okay.
Meaning you are Johnny on the spot when it comes to canceling subscriptions as soon as possible. You're getting the subscription the day before, and you're getting rid of it the day after, which is the dream, but also so difficult.
Yep.
I mean, I just, during the break, you just heard me saying, wait a second, am I still paying
$25? I paid $25 a month for this?
There was a time last year where I was deep diving into some nerdy stat. It was like DVOA-centric type NFL stat, but I needed it. And I hit one of our analytics guys up that I really like. I think it was Shots. And
he
said, oh, that's available. It's here, but you need to have a subscription. And I remember signing up for the subscription. It was like midway through last year. And I just got an email saying, your subscription's about to re-up for the new football season. And I'm like, what? And I looked, and every month since then, I've been being charged $25 a month.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sure it's a wonderful subscription with great data, but you weren't using it.
I was not.
Right.
It's a great site. It's a great subscription. But I just spent a few hundred dollars over the offseason not going to that website, right, whatever it was. So anyway, so that's annoying. But I'm really bad at it. I have, like, the Rocket app, like a lot of other people do, and they say they'll you know, do this for you, do that for you. And when you ask them to, they can. But you got to ask them.
Got to ask them.
And they don't always tell you, apparently, because I haven't heard that one, that that's a reoccurring bill. But I digress. So here is the least you can spend to watch every game. Peacock, you just need it in September, $7.99 a month. So you're paying $8 there for the cock.
Okay.
Amazon Prime Video, okay? 5 months, September through January, $8.99 per month. That's $44.95.
Okay, man. That just jumped
Prime
right there.
For all five. Okay, so that's $45. Plus the $8 for Peacock. Netflix, 1 month, $6.99 in December. You only need it for the December Christmas Day games.
Okay.
So that is prorated, I guess, at $7 per month. ESPN Plus, 1 month, October, for an exclusive game. $10.99 per month. That's $11. NFL Sunday Ticket with you, the TV plan.
Yeah, here we go.
That's 6 months, September through February. It's $73 per month, plus $3.49 for the Sunday ticket cost, which is $787. By the way, I have that and will have that, and oh my God, don't tell my wife. NFL Sunday Ticket without YouTube TV. So if you don't want to get YouTube TV, but you want Sunday Ticket, you can do that. Okay. No problem. That'll cost $449. I will not be doing that. But if I needed to, I would.
If you needed to.
Because it's a drug, and I will be in imbibing. Total cost with YouTube TV plan. So that, I guess this is me, NFL Sunday Ticket.
I was going to say, this you're doing this.
With YouTube TV and Red Zone, $857.86. Oh, okay, this is the total cost of everything.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So that's what I'm doing, $857.86 to watch football. Total cost without the YouTube TV plan is $519.92, which does not include cable, other service that would be needed to watch in-market games on Sundays. So unless you're illegally streaming or whatever, you then need a cable package on top of your $519 this fall.
Yeah, I'm chuckling, but the cable's got me just, you know, just bent right over in the woodshed.
NFL, what are you doing to us?
Taking our money.
Oh, they are just, thank you, sir. May I have another? Just slapping us around. Grant and Danny will get you ready for Nats baseball next. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. How much is it going to cost you to watch every NFL game this season? Got some numbers on that that'll blow you away. We'll pass those along in just a couple of minutes. First, though, to answer the question we just posed going to break, Danny. Something you wish Jaden Daniels would have been asked to do in his exhibition action that he wasn't.
I understand why they didn't do this. I totally get it. Their concern is about being the best they can be and getting him ready. But just for me, to satisfy old Danny Ruye on my couch watching stuff, I would have liked to have seen some of those high-level NFL routes, some of those deep crossers, right, in behind a linebacker in front of a safety, some of those, you know, deep ball, there's only, you know, a millisecond where you can start to throw it and, you know, a matter of inches to fit the darn thing in. Some of those deep outs, tight coverage type things where you're Justin Herbert style, driving the football into a very, very narrow window down the field. I would have loved to have seen some of those things just to see it because it would have been fun for me. But again, I'm not criticizing them for not doing it.
Yeah, I think I could kind of echo that in some way. The in-breakers, middle of the field throws that weren't on the film to a great extent at LSU. Just put that to bed. And he will in September, hopefully, if they can hit on a few of those. But it just wasn't a part of his game that was a strength. And my fear is it's not going to come as naturally. Maybe you overshoot those or you're just not as comfortable throwing those. And that turns into, you know, overthrow middle of the field can be an interception or what have you. It's a lot safer to throw the ball outside because you can use the sideline as your friend, overthrow, you know, toward the boundary or deep down the field or whatever. And I don't think it's a complete coincidence that he protected the football the way that he did without interceptions and also didn't operate in the middle of the field a whole lot where there's more bodies and some potential risk for picks. So I would have liked to have seen a little of that. I certainly would have liked to have seen just kind of holding the ball and processing, which is the quarterback position and how it's got to work. I'm quick game Quincy. I mean, I love the quick game. I am a big fan of 1.9 seconds and the ball out. I think Tua last year led the NFL in time to throw, and look at Miami's offense. Now, I don't have Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle, but point is, and I think people understand, you want the ball into the hands of the receivers as fast as possible. And behind this line, time to throw being low is a good thing, not a bad thing. Having said that, there is a little bit of a buyer beware thing when, you know, you have the lowest time to throw because oftentimes you're not allowing things to develop down the field. And so you want him to just get a feel for the clock in his head. And maybe that you're practicing that as in practices you can't be hit, but I think it's a little different.
Right.
At no point did he really work on the clock in his head, which I think is a big part of his development coming out of college, as we've talked about. So those would be a couple of the things I'd point to top of my head that we didn't see a ton of. But his preseason grade, if it's over now through two games, for what he was asked to do and what he did, you can't give him less than an A. Is it an A-minus? Is it an A-plus? You know, the A-plus play to me was the check at the line and the dime to De'Ami Brown downfield. That was the one kind of high degree of difficulty moment that we saw. Everything else was acing pretty easy quizzes. But I think you still got to give him a solid. I'm going to give him just a true A on the preseason. And if we're accounting for practice, if we're accounting for the off-the-field discourse from coaches on him as a leader and as a worker and a studier and when he shows up, then maybe you bump it up to an A-plus so far.
Yeah, it's an A for me. I mean, you know, he's, I don't have a better analogy, but I was trying to think of it using school stuff. It's like he took an intro to physics class this preseason training camp and then, you know, some of these games. And if you're giving him less than an A, it means you're mad because he didn't do advanced AP physics 2. We wouldn't ask to. Can he? We don't know yet. We're going to find that out, right? Because that quarterback position is really hard. But if the coaches were, you know, we're throwing caution to the wind and not caring what was on tape and tipping their hand and saying, let's do all the stuff we're going to do to see if you can do it very well. And he failed at some of that stuff. We'd have a better idea. But from what he was asked to do, again, he was running the plays with the exception of the one beautiful time that he checked out of it and said, I'll just throw this perfect dime 40 some yards down the field, please. And thank you.
I was emailed this from my buddy BK. So shout out to him for sending this my way today. But this is the least amount you can spend to watch every NFL game this season, if you choose to.
Okay.
Meaning you are Johnny on the spot when it comes to canceling subscriptions as soon as possible. You're getting the subscription the day before, and you're getting rid of it the day after, which is the dream, but also so difficult.
Yep.
I mean, I just, during the break, you just heard me saying, wait a second, am I still paying $25?
I paid $25 a month for this?
There was a time last year where I was deep diving into some nerdy stat. It was like DVOA-centric type NFL stat, but I needed it. And I hit one of our analytics guys up that I really like. I think it was Shots. And
oh, right.
He said, oh, that's available. It's here, but you need to have a subscription. And I remember signing up for the subscription. It was like midway through last year. And I just got an email saying, your subscription's about to re-up for the new football season. And I'm like, what? And I looked, and every month since then, I've been being charged $25 a month.
Now, that here's the thing. I'm sure it's a wonderful subscription with great data, but you weren't using it.
I was not.
Right.
It's a great site. It's a great subscription. But I just spent a few hundred dollars over the offseason not going to that website, right? Whatever it was. So anyway, so that's annoying. But I'm really bad at it. I have, like, the Rocket app, like a lot of other people do, and they say they'll you know, do this for you, do that for you. And when you ask them to, they can. But you got to ask them
to. Got to ask them.
And they don't always tell you, apparently, because I haven't heard that one, that that's a reoccurring bill. But I digress. So here is the least you can spend to watch every game. Peacock, you just need it in September, $7.99 a month. So you're paying $8 there for the cock.
Okay.
Amazon Prime Video, okay? 5 months. September through January, $8.99 per month. That's $44.95.
Okay, man, that just jumped
Prime
right there.
For all five. Okay, so that's $45 plus the $8 for Peacock. Netflix, 1 month, $6.99 in December. You only need it for the December Christmas Day games.
Okay.
So that is prorated, I guess, at $7 per month. ESPN Plus, 1 month. October for an exclusive game, $10.99 per month. That's $11. NFL Sunday Ticket with you, the TV plan.
Yeah, here we go.
That's 6 months, September through February. It's $73 per month, plus $3.49 for the Sunday ticket cost, which is $787. By the way, I have that and will have that. And oh my God, don't tell my wife. NFL Sunday Ticket without YouTube TV. So if you don't want to get YouTube TV, but you want Sunday Ticket, you can do that.
Okay.
No problem. That'll cost $449. I will not be doing that. But if I needed to, I would.
If you needed to.
Because it's a drug, and I will be imbibing. Total cost with YouTube TV plan. So that, I guess this is me. NFL Sunday Ticket.
I was going to say, this you're doing this.
With YouTube TV and Red Zone, $857.86. Oh, okay. This is the total cost of everything.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So that's what I'm doing. $857.86 to watch football. Total cost without the YouTube TV plan is $519.92, which does not include cable, other service that would be needed to watch in-market games on Sundays. So unless you're illegally streaming or whatever, you then need a cable package on top of your $519 this fall.
Yeah, I'm chuckling, but the cable's got me just, you know, just bent right over in the woodshed.
NFL, what are you doing to us?
You know, taking our money.
Oh, they are just, thank you, sir. May I have another? Just slapping us around. Grant and Danny will get you ready for Nats baseball next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.